Nicolas associates is an expression of my whole life. Just because you learn from someone, don't put them on a pedestal. Entrepreneurship is not for everybody.
Welcome to Venture Visionaries, where we dive deep into the journeys of trailblazing entrepreneurs and extract the actionable insights that help fuel our own entrepreneurial spirits. I'm your host, Thomas Igeme. And today, I'm thrilled to introduce a guest who embodies the spirit of thoughtful leadership and innovative management, Nicoletta Vlamis. Nicoletta is the founder of Nicoletta & Associates, a boutique change management consultancy where she's made waves in the professional service industry by marrying a keen business acumen with a profound understanding of human dynamics. But what really sets Nicoletta apart isn't just her expertise. It's her unique ability to bring clarity and calm in times of uncertainty. Today, Nicoletta doesn't just lead her team. She shapes the very fabric of how change is managed and mastered, from Toronto to San Francisco and everywhere in between. She takes the building blocks of all the things that she's learned from her time at Columbia to working with mentors and her time in corporate into building a unique approach to organizational change. So whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, a seasoned leader, or someone just passionate about the dynamics of business and personal growth, Nicoletta's insights are bound to enrich your understanding and inspire your own path. Join us as we unpack how Nicoletta navigated the complexities of entrepreneurship, the influence of mentors, and her approach to integrating work with professional life, all while growing a rapidly evolving business in a constantly changing landscape. Prepare to be enlightened, inspired, and maybe even find your own inspiration to transform. Let's get started. I'd love it if you could share a little bit of the genesis of the origin story of Nicoletta & Associates. Kind of what drove you not just to go into management consulting, but to choose to run your own venture?
There definitely wasn't a plan. I think that was a conversation that I had recently somewhere. I realized later, I was always an internal, but I was trained by all the consulting houses. That took me a while to understand that, actually. So could be the internal organization development manager, training manager, what internal consultant, but I was trained by a lot of the consulting houses. And so when I say organic, it's because when I did leave there that time, I think I was getting my coaching certification at Columbia at that time. One of my mentors was like, well, why don't you just give it a roll? Try something on your own. And that was kind of it. Of course, there are convergence of effects that happened at that same time. But the nature of why consultancy was kind of because that's what I'd been doing internally, supported by lots of big consulting houses that were training me at that time. So whether that be PwC, Accenture, CGI, IBM, I'd spent at least, I would say, 5 years, maybe longer, 6, 7 years from project to project where they were the third party. So organically, we'd say, well, then how would you build it? Well, why not try? That's how it started. The piece on the coaching certification was that at that time, I think I had just left a full-time role and I was in school and then I started to do contract work in a sales training firm. And that plus school, because in school, I met all these entrepreneur types at Columbia. There were all these types of individuals that were doing their own thing or working at companies, but many of them that were doing their own thing. And so that was a recent exposure. And then a mentor saying, why don't you give it a run? Then that convergence that happened is in those contracting assignments, I found a University of Toronto. It was like a first contract. So it'd be like a good academic entry. Then there was like a side way of getting into Microsoft because they needed something that the firm I was working with didn't provide. So those became the convergence. Yeah. The actual thinking to me was more organic. It was more that what you were doing, but just doing it on your own.
What is it you think that your mentor saw either in you or in the market that led them to kind of suggest this, on one hand, a lot more freedom, but like on the other hand, like a lot more precarious and a lot more responsibility? path to doing what you're doing. As a fellow kind of entrepreneur myself, I can attest to that. What are the things you think your mentor saw in you?
I can't speak for that. But I can say that probably was more based on me than what was in the market. Belief in person, more so than analysis of market, and therefore try a niche, you know, because or try a plan. I'm still back on your other question, which is entrepreneurship is not for everybody. I feel like there's a lot of hate for me on there just because there's a difference between being an organization person and being an entrepreneur. In the case of my mentor, that it was just like, you can do it. That was like the, you know, you have the experience, you have this, give it a run. So I know that there was some feedback in my career that if I had a company, you would be one of the three people I would take. I don't know what they saw. They saw me in the context of an organization. They didn't see me in the context of an incubator. Maybe we could make deductions on other things, but I don't know. But the piece about the organization and the entrepreneur thing, it's been a recent reflection for me because where the company is today, I sometimes think my organization skills actually helped me more at this generation of the firm. It's a little bit more mature. But the prior years, like you said, what the stomach to whatever that means to be an entrepreneur, that kind of, you know, stomach wind of like full on for 5 to 8 years. And it's not in the 3 years, get your benefit. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And also, I think the other part, which is just do everything, that kind of all in spirit versus, you know, kind of thing, which is inherently entrepreneurship aside from many other things. And I don't know that I was even aware, Thomas, to know that there was a difference. I wanted to give it a roll. I believed in that. I was like, okay, let's try it out. Then I had a couple of things that could keep you busy. Recently, my legal counsel, we were at a breakfast. And he's been supporting Nicolet and Associates now probably 6 years. And we were around a breakfast table. And he was like, what happened here? And that, again, perspective, like you don't have it, fish and what? And I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't know if it's COVID or like it was you and then it was you maybe in one. And then all of a sudden, like, who are, is everyone here? And it feels established. Like it feels like it's got some, you know, it's not like, hey, all new people, you know, it's like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. Okay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that feel kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that gave me perspective of just, that's why I say that some of my organization skills I am enacting now, which is, it's a little bit more established and I'm asking myself the difference between the entrepreneur and that. And I can feel the struggles of what an entrepreneur who didn't have an organization background would feel now. Like I can see that, like, you know, like I, one gentleman told me this, he's like, oh, you know, I've heard every, cause I was talking about getting out of something.
Yeah.
And he said, Nicoletta, I've worked with 25 founders. And they all said that and they never got out of it. I said, because they never wanted to or else they would do it. And so that was why one person told me very early, not a mentor, but more of like a sponsor type. He said, you'll need to make a decision. And he'd say it and answer that. He says, you will want to make a decision. Do you want to do the work of consulting or do you want to grow a business? You cannot have both. And I told him, I do want to grow a business. And I have continued to revisit that over the time. And it's not been really hard for me to make that. Because it's not so black and white. Of course, in consulting, you do the work of the work. But now the question is, how do you scale that?
We go back to your childhood. If you think about some of your earlier childhood experiences or people who were involved, and you think about the leader you are today, how do you think those early childhood experiences or people may have influenced the shape of your leadership now?
Definitely. I mean, if you look at a pragmatic level from a childhood level, I had influences of business and education. And so that, my goodness, like if you think of consulting, it's like about that, you know, I had organization influence, like people that were in organizations. I definitely didn't have entrepreneurial, not ones that impacted me. Of course, I can think of people who had businesses, but what we call entrepreneurs of today who are either serial entrepreneurs or, like you said, the difference between choosing that path or organization. I don't think I had a lot of that. So this was relatively new for me to embark on that. The work of consulting, no, but the actual building of the business that we're talking about, whatever that encasement is around that. So definitely that piece moved me in that direction. The innumerable influences in my life, my goodness, Thomas, I couldn't even list them. I know that at some level, I have an orientation of learning. And learning of self and learning how you talk about it at the beginning. So therefore, I do see things. Just like I said, you gift people with your attitude of excitement. I tend to orient as a learner. I like to believe that. And So therefore the innumerable things. I think one of the lessons I had to learn early, this is more earlier in my career, was just because you learn from someone, don't put them on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that can become a different journey, but that's just a side road.
When you think about your work at NKA and making sure you integrate the human dynamics, how do you guys think about not kind of getting lost in the unwieldiness and in all of that chaos, and yet still kind of recognizing it and helping organizations navigate their way through?
The mindset that we have around humans, and now before we get into business, is that it's chaotic, it's negative, it's heavy, it's unwieldy, you know, these human things. That very worldview is what's not, what needs to be reframed.
Mm.
That's literally the worldview that's how we feel about the parts of ourselves that we can't manage or control.
Mm. Mm.
So words like embracement, understanding, acceptance, and that level of saying, I understand. When that's all that's needed in that messy, the minute it's messy, it's what, because messy for you, because what, it's emotional, or messy because it's unclear. And messy is usually not a positive word.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally not a positive word in general. I'm sure we could find instances where it's fine. That's kind of my second thought when we're sharing, is that the worldview, that's the part that needs to reframe, is our view about ourselves is that we're a problem to be solved. We're not a problem. We're just a human that wants to be embraced, understood in a business, collaborated with, shared with. I think getting comfortable, you know, comments like getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, they're awesome. I might even say them a lot. Do you know what it really feels like to be uncomfortable in a performance environment that can fire you when your mortgage is based on it? Those are dynamics that we don't accept, that these are always there. I was in a team meeting today and I said, you know, for right now, this is where we all kind of get our bills paid. It doesn't mean I put it down, but I never lose that context. Mm. But that doesn't mean I'm downplaying it. I wouldn't have met you if it wasn't for that context. So it's like, it's not like, so we meet how we meet and where we go with it. It doesn't. So I think those are the things in business we lose. So we talk about a safe environment, but if the person doesn't know how to embrace themselves and explore their own understanding of self, they can never make it safe for somebody else.
When you encounter that kind of resistance, are there certain tools or kind of strategies that over the years NKA has kind of perfected or pushed through that either help people kind of accelerate on that journey to self-acceptance, or allow you to work with people who are not yet there, but get the organization where it needs to be?
So one of my recent reflections is that it's self-awareness plus application. You know, we all know that there's things we're aware of that we shouldn't do and we keep doing them. So then application is gentle, vigilant application, which is, you know, this is where your environment supports you. So I had a colleague in business, and I had said to her, she's got some stuff from her doctor that was not good for her, just, you know, general health status, and she needed to stop doing certain things. And I said to her, you know, I'm not having any business conversation with you for 6 months. We're only going to have a conversation in health. But what I recently, when I talked to her, she's doing, made some big steps. But what has helped that is her environment is supporting her. Her home life is supporting her. So why am I giving that example? If I think about, so it's self, you just take self-awareness plus application. That means that somebody, I just talked about that today. You can't impose your way on people. So I can say those two plus things there to you, but I have to be super sensitive and aware where it's not well. And then what does that mean? But you're there to do that. It doesn't work like that. You know, you know what, Nicoletta, you'd be really good for them. No, are they interested in that? No, then I'd be their worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'd be the last person they want to talk to. That awareness may be part of what works, Thomas, because it doesn't mean I won't come back another day. It doesn't mean I won't have a conversation, but I try to discern those that are sincerely interested in whatever next level means for them. They're really interested in that and just pour into them.
Yeah.
Now for the ones that are not, no right or wrong, there'll be some sort of job requirement. We're going to help them. We consult on roles all the time. So just to do a good day job, there's always something to do. And to me, no one is better. No one is a better one. They're just different solutions. They're different reservoirs. Now that sounds like, okay, you step away from things. But if I'm around, what I also notice is that by sharing, as you shared, hey, you know what? I can relate to that. You know, this is that, or, you know, just that very we're sitting on the same bench. We may be in different parts of companies or founder, or that it doesn't matter. You know, when you're talking about how we're going to move this change forward or something, so with this and that, it doesn't matter. Maybe experience a little bit, but you just like sit and talk about that to people on the bench. What do you think? I don't know. What do you think? This is what I'm thinking about. That's why I really try and get away from, although I really love Clifton strengths and weaknesses, to just mastery and learning. And this weaknesses stuff is just, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't bode for humans. There are things that I said that to one of our clients in a big enterprise client, her VP, and she's the interim leader. She's super excited about this. We're helping her do that. And she needs to do X and X in order to do this job well. And I said, you know that it's only to be an organization leader. You wouldn't have to do X and X if you were somewhere else, just to be clear. There's no sort of development path, like you're a less human being, get you on a development path. No, if you want to be an organization leader, these are the requirements to do that. That's what's required. And she's advising you on that. It's good advice. But if you were to go do something else, another gaming thing or some five person, you don't need those skills. They're not needed. Yeah. Some of these may be transferable, but you know what I mean? This idea that you have a weakness, it's your development plan. It's against a role that you need to get a job done. We make big words around that, like leadership. It's just like, it's just to get a job done. And then that job has different requirements. And yes, as the more senior you go in big companies, yes, the remit is different at that level. Yeah. In an entrepreneurial company, like you started, those skills are very different.
Yeah.
And if you want to do that, you got to learn a little bit how to do that. So those are all the role-based things that we spend a lot of time in. But I always say that there's a role and then there's a human doing that role.
I want to shift gears again and think a little bit about kind of the pace of change happening in the industry as a whole, be it technology, government, some of the places that you play in, and also the rate of change happening at NKA. There's a number of new product offerings that you guys have innovated in over the last couple of years, new markets you're going into. I'm mostly curious about how you think about managing the pace of change and complexity in a small business.
Depends what you're trying to do. So we use OKRs at a company level. I have a sense of when you need to stabilize. There's a need to stabilize a company. If you're growing at a high rate, there is a time you need to stabilize for humans, not for financials. I knew in the end of 2022 that we needed to expand and stabilize the company at the same time. But they would be spurts of each. I tend to think about paradox helps me. Two things can exist at the same time. You can build your port and grow your company. How you pragmatically structure that, that of course is different. You have to think about that. How do you decide that? Much more dynamically than people think. I mean, even some of our large enterprise clients don't have strategies beyond 18 months. I'm not talking about, so literally it's like big companies. What do you mean? Because that's where they can gauge stuff. Those are big companies. So if I think back to Nicolet and Associates, when I say it depends, if you're getting your, now talking financial talk, is that if you're counting on your core revenue, I mean, if you're counting on certain revenue to keep your lights on from your core business, nothing can steer away from that. How you step, that has to maintain. So if I personalize that, one of our client experience conversations, like, oh, you guys always over the years, like, but always, you know, it was like, XXX about what you do. You know, it's kind of like, what's our experience? And then it's like, oh yeah, always on quality or always. It was like, I had a choke. I had a laugh because it was like, yeah, always high quality work, as if that was just a, you know, check. You know what I mean? And you can imagine from the scaling side, it's like, that is not a guarantee. In her experience, that which was awesome to hear that. If you just take that as a core business, your core business, if you plan to, at least for me, have our core business, the main revenue come from your core business while you're going at it, then the core business is taken care of in the way that you know is delivering the way you want it to deliver. And in consulting, that's people and processes and all of the stuff that goes around that. Nothing else, including your time as a founder, if it has to go there to make sure that's there, then you give your growth business some sort of structure that somebody else can at least get it started for you. Because even though it's the sexy work you would love to do, what's required to grow the firm in a healthy way is that you pay attention to maybe what you might consider to be less exciting. assuming that you're capable to contribute to both. Now, that being said, if you plan to sunset your portfolio, I can't speak at that level because I can speak to what I have experience in, is that that is the first thing to attend to. And then in consulting, that's just what you're known for. And then as you go into a new area, like you alluded that we are, as we go into that new area, I have to feel like that's like thumbs up, like that's going well. And so then for me, what that has meant is to put in really good coaching processes in the company, really good coaching processes. And that is not a one-for-one coaching, but processes, mindset, heart set, everything around, look at your tapes, learn, pick it up, do it the next time, whatever that coaching process is, allows the company to start to take care of itself.
I'm curious, if you think about kind of how you have grown and evolved as a leader at NKA and think back to kind of those first 2 to 3 years, with the lens and the experience you have today, if you were coaching yourself then, what pieces of advice would you want to give? Or is there anything very specifically that you know you do differently and why?
I know it sounds, maybe sounds even funny to say it, but my first thought that came to my mind was really learn faster. I don't think whether it was arrogance, unawareness, not knowing, I can think of a couple examples, but we just take our organization and entrepreneurial frame. You cannot go from an organization to an entrepreneur and think you know because you had an MBA. So the thing is, I have said that is that I got my MBA at Nicolet and Associates. That's true from every, to the point that even about a year ago, not that long ago, last year, I realized that all of a sudden I was applying some finance class training. And literally I'm making reference to a model of years ago now. And then I'm literally referencing an internship for my MBA after years in organization. So it's like, how did that come up now? Because it got enacted now. It got, the environment was asking me for it. So I feel that I was not a learner. I was not, oh my goodness. I'm sure somebody met me at that time. They said, well, what are you talking about? You did that. What I mean about what I know, if I think of 2 or 3 examples, it was maybe it's, you know, like you said, Thomas, it's the literally running for the dollar, running for the deal, you know what I'm saying? Trying to, whatever's going on that, not knowing what you don't know and then not stopping enough to learn. You know where I'm going with that? Like, I don't know which part of it. So I'll just default to the arrogance because that's probably a high probability. and when I mean arrogant, it's because you think you know and you don't. And again, that's speculation. It's just, if I were to default to a zone that I think is highly probable, I would just sit on that one. But it could be a myriad of other things that were around that as well. And so I do think learning, not so the twist on that is that you don't want to go out and get too many voices in your life. That's the other twist on that. Yeah. So then you go out and ask everybody, I'm just being extreme now, but tell me, you know, Thomas, about when you did it. It's like that can be also extremely cause other things going on. And so I didn't necessarily do that. I don't think I did that. That's the other option that can happen, which is, you know, I do have people asking me now about what do you think? And I tend to always direct them back. What can we talk about where you're at right now? Not some general things about what you would do. Like, is there anything I can assist you with to explore right now that is a question that you have for yourself in your context right now? And if there's something I can offer there about that question versus tell me what you did when you built your company. Not us in this context, but I'm saying in general, I notice people ask that. And then I'm like, it really, this is when I come back to, and that's one of like, in case things, context defines meaning. It depends. Yeah. So you ask about the business, do you want to go here? That it depends. Do you just want to have a lifestyle business? Do you want to grow to sell? Are you okay to grow to sell, but you're not driven by it, but you might take some of the learnings that would come if you were getting ready to sell that might help you run a more effective business. Mm. It all, those are the questions that you, people say, we have to know your end game. Sometimes you don't.
You know, you mentioned that arrogance, and it's such a powerful word to own. And it's not the kind of arrogance of thinking I know everything, but it is really difficult, this paradox of starting a company, where in order to do it, you have to have this like audacious belief in yourself and your vision and the world. Because if you don't have that, there's no reason to start on this crazy adventure. And then at the same time, though, you don't know anything. I'm curious how your identity as a, how much of an identity being a woman leader in quote unquote is to you. And if at all that plays into how you're thinking about leading NKA.
Well, this probably won't surprise you. I do understand socially, of course, that I'm female. So that there's some clarity. That's clear.
I'm not surprising you. Just
that's like that. Okay, good. Check. But I won't surprise you that I identify first with being a human being. Socially, I do not deny I'm a female. And I say socially because so I would say that. So socially, I understand that, but I first and foremost look to identify as a human being. That helps, Thomas, in a lot of ways. Now, that does not deny my femaleness, nor my Greek background, nor, okay, and there, you know, any sort of, you know, this deeper than I, the point that you start rejecting this stuff is not a good situation, especially now. It's when you identify so much with that, that I find, which is a whole other conversation, that a whole bunch of stuff comes with that. I haven't thought much about it. I am aware of it. I'm definitely aware of it. It's not been, and maybe that's my self-authority. I don't know. It's, I do look to identify that way, but I am not ignorant nor unaware of the social dynamics of my being a female and my being a petite female. What does that bring in a dynamic, which goes back to what you're sharing? I'm not unaware of those things. I haven't even considered ever limit that. That could be my selfish self-authority. It's like, I'm Nicoletta. If it works for you, doesn't work for you, it's fine. The question is, I'm here to do business. And if it works for you, then we can do business. But I'm not unaware of those dynamics, because I think that's where you can either kind of get on a high horse about them. Do you know what I'm saying? And then it can really, like, you're really trying to carve something out about, I'm really this. It's like, no, I have something to offer. It may not work for you. That's cool. But I'm always happy to share. And I think that is probably that, going back to the mentor question, which is give it a roll. And now you hear things about failure and this and that. And it's like, you know, entrepreneurs and all that kind of stuff. It's like, I don't know, this gets into deeper worldviews, which is give it your all. Don't give it your part. Give it your all everywhere you are. Be aware. Have the ground. Know that where the ground is to know if something's going to work.
One of the things that has been thematic in this is your resistance, rejection of kind of this balance concept. You mentioned it, giving it your all, don't do it in part. But I'm curious then how you think about the identities that exist outside of you being a business owner and leader of NK. If you don't think about the language of balance, what has it looked for you to cultivate being a whole human on this arduous journey?
Well, I think one frame that works is that we have one life. Nicoletta Associates is an expression of my whole life. But that does not mean that Nicoletta Associates is my life. So that's a distinction. I remember somebody telling me that, like, it'll be different when you have your own company. You know, it's like, you know, work so hard at a company. It's different if it's your own. I said, be careful. It's like, you know, be careful. Like, the more I can integrate my life without everything becoming about commercial deals.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that means. You know what I'm saying? Without, there is a way to integrate your, you live one life, you live one life. So that does not mean that you're working till 11 every night for 6 months. Of course, there are cycles, but it's one premise is that I know I have one life. It's an integrated life. The more I can integrate, then what does that mean? Then you have to get example by example. So you don't have this, these artificial lines, but there's some sort of, lately I've been thinking about this a lot, like, there's only so much time, Thomas. And so saying that you have an environment where I can meet people like you, that we met in a business context, if I can contribute in some way that enhances their life, even if it's in business, just get busy doing it, give it your all. So that is, and then I find that more and more of the time I'm learning, the way I'm learning to live is to spend more time in what you're bringing others, but you first have to heal yourself, or else you're going to be a very resentful human being. But the more you focus on others, again, this is a big, like, that's out of, could be taken out of context.
Yeah.
Even in business, let's just take the business context.
Yeah.
My role in Nicoletta Associates is to enable the success of each human being. Whatever that means to them. That will keep you super busy. That's going to keep you super busy by the time you client this and that. And so that is what I mean by we have one life. The more you can integrate it, respect people's privacy where you don't get involved in that, you know, kind of like our companies, our family. I'm like, be careful with that. That model doesn't work for everybody. You can be warm and engaging and contributing and enjoying and having a few select relationships that are awesome. Yeah. Be very mindful. That model doesn't work for everybody. Don't do that stuff. Okay. It may be your own lack of family yourself that you're imposing on someone else, whatever that means to you, you know, whatever that means. So I think hopefully I'm not resisting dichotomy. Hopefully what I'm seeing, including the dichotomy and saying there could be a way that you can have two areas to do, but they don't have to be in conflict. They can just be two areas to do. And I think that's the part that business problem solution, black, white, Excel spreadsheet, that boxes things. That's not, we don't live in those places. We live all around them.
Now it's time for Spoken Stories, where we go beyond the leaders of organizations to speak to some of the people who make them happen. This week, I got to chat with three members of Nicoletta & Associates. I heard from Sophia Ismail, Albazini Van Wyk, their go-to-market lead, and Wenqi Wu, their operations lead. Here's what each of them had to say about what they love about NKA.
It can be hard to come by a place that actually practices what they preach, but that is inherently true at Nicoletta & Associates. I have an appreciation for what it means to create that environment, and I feel it is transformative. And that's not only as it relates to our consulting approach, our relationships with our clients and with each other, but also from a journey of self-awareness and leadership, having the opportunity to focus on continuous learning and authenticity.
The day-to-day business context Nicoletta creates for us as leaders and team members can be described as a leadership incubator, a culture focused on day-to-day learning and reflection, and a reminder on focusing on the human and individual beyond the role in our work. For me personally, this approach brings a freshness and vitality that remains inspiring.
I really appreciate to see how relationship can transform beyond the day-to-day delivery in Nicoletta & Associates. Some of our previous clients is part of our team member right now. Some of our colleagues may not be active in our circle, but may come back to ask, is there anything I can help? I just found that's really amazing and beautiful to experience.
Now, I've known Nicoletta for over 7 years now. And in that time, I've seen her and NKA transform, grow, and evolve. Her management consulting company is orders of magnitude bigger and with further reach than it was when we first started. And I'm always so excited because I know this is just the beginning. But one thing that has remained constant is there's a deep groundedness, a soberness, and a grace with which Nicoletta navigates the world that doesn't just slow her down, but slows the people around her. Not slow in their speed of movement and their productivity and the way they get things done. On that, Nicoletta & Associates is always moving at 150 miles an hour, but slow in the sense of intentionality. This kind of slowness that allows you to really listen, really ponder, and choose your next move, rather than have life choose it for you. And that is my wish for all of you. I hope that this week you would have the opportunity to truly get slow, not by getting less done, but by getting done the things that you choose to do. Have a wonderful week. As always, I'm Thomas.